our
seminar entitled Karma and Reincarnation. Can somebody off the lights, please, so that we can start our class? Yeah, and behind also you can. So yesterday we discussed about the law of karma, how the law of karma acts, what are the different kinds of activities, what is karma, what is vikarma, and what is akarma. And we saw this chart also. In this chart, whatever we studied, it was summarized. And now today we will continue the same topic and try to answer very important question: why do bad things happen to good people and why do good things happen to bad people?
To understand this point, it was necessary for us to understand all these things which we studied yesterday and today also. Before we actually answer this question, we will have to understand certain things which forms the background for this answer. We have seen in last 2 days that how we are not this body, we are soul, and as soul we go on taking different bodies. We have discussed this yesterday also. Lord Krishna explains in Bhagavad Gita that as in this life we keep changing body from childhood to youth and youth to old age, similarly after death we change body, tatha dehantaram, and this is known as the law of transmigration. It happens under the instructions of material nature, and hence the laws of nature, laws of karma, are applicable to each and every living entity.
We gave example yesterday as of the law of gravity, that this is a universal law, and this universal law is applicable to everyone. Similarly, these law of karma, these laws of material nature, they are also applicable to everyone. Whether we are born in India, we are born in Pakistan, America, Russia, Africa, wherever. We are a Hindu, Muslim, Christian, anyone. These are universal laws. So it is for everyone to understand these important laws, laws of karma, how they act upon us. So yesterday we discussed all these things. So today's topics are very interesting. We will start our today's session with a very interesting question, that although we have discussed about karma, we get the results of our karma, but do we get the results immediately, or do we get them after some time, or do we get them in our next life? What is it? Suppose today I am performing an activity. What will happen? Will I get the result immediately? Will I get it after a year? Will I get it in next life? This is one question. Second question: if you say that you may get your reaction in next life, then why do I have to wait till next life? Why not in this life? Now, there are many people who say that everything is here. Swarg bhi yahi hai aur narak bhi yahi hai. For them, hell is also here and heaven is also here. They say you just serve humanity, that's all. Your hell and heaven is here only. You don't have to bother, because who has seen what happens after death? So why to bother? As I was telling you the other day about this Charvak Muni who propounded the theory that eat, drink and be merry, ridam kritva gritam pivet, yavat jivet, sukham jivet. As long as you are living, live happily, enjoy. Eat whatever you like, drink whatever you like. Whether it is going to spoil your health, no problem. Go on drinking. I remember once I saw an advertisement about smoking in the television. I don't know how many of you have seen. There was a person very young age and he started smoking amongst his friends, and then they showed that slowly, slowly he went to job and continuously he was smoking, and slowly, slowly, like, you know, he got addicted and then his lungs got affected. It was about cancer, lung cancer, and slowly, slowly, like, he came to a stage where he was about to die. Just all started with style. It happens, no, in the college. Somebody is smoking and we are not smoking, and the person says, yeah, you don't smoke? No. You're not fit to be called a young man. And then if you say, no, I don't like it. Why you don't like it? Just try it once. What's the harm? Try it out. He said, no, my father will not like it. Father is not here, don't worry. And you are a young man, why to hear of a father? In 1960s and 70s, in America there was a rule for young people. They used to say that you should not listen to someone who is above 30. So it is obvious that parents will be above 30. So you don't listen to parents. So similarly it happens here also. Who is it? Your father is not here. We are in hostel. And we are man. You are a man. Don't act like a woman. Come on, have one. So then you think, yeah, I am a man. I should smoke, I should drink. Otherwise they will think I'm not a man. So let me smoke. Then you start smoking, you start drinking, and what happens? It leads to bad health. It leads to diseases like cancer. So you are misutilizing your freedom which has been given to you by your parents. Your parents sent you here so that you can study in a nice atmosphere. But what we do, we don't utilize our independence properly, and hence we suffer. Similarly, our eternal parent, Lord Krishna, he has given us some independence because he loves us. And when we misutilize our independence, then we suffer. And then we create karmic reactions. And it is due to our karma that we come together. Sometimes we stay together, then we are separated. Due to time factor, our near and dear ones are taken away from us. It is due to our karma that we face certain situations in the life. We want to do one particular thing, it doesn't happen. We feel that yes, if I am going ahead on this path, I will be a successful man. Somehow it doesn't work out. And then we land up in a situation where we are not even able to take care of our body. Some diseases. So that is why you should be very careful in your youth. Because this is the time where you get distracted by many things. Because you feel you are young, you can do whatever you like. And then people take advantage. And because of, like, suppose somebody wants that you should get spoiled, because he himself is spoiled. So he will try to attract you by many things. Come on, it's not, drinking is not so bad, smoking is not so bad, going out for movies is not so bad, looking at girls is not so bad, and whatnot, all these things. And then you also start feeling. But then where does it lead you? And what do you create for yourself is bad karma. So that is why this instant, why do I don't get it and why it's delayed, we will discuss today. But I spoke all this because I want you all to be benefited by this session. This session is of course to tell you about your activities which you perform. Don't just take these words like karma, vikarma or akarma as the words of scriptures. Just mentioned in the scriptures, they are not concerned with our lives. No. Try to imbibe these values in your life. Try to live a life where you can be peaceful. You can be happy. Why should we suffer? Have you asked this question any time? Why should we suffer? What have we done? We are human beings. We are doing right things. We should not suffer. Still we are suffering. It's due to our karma. And how we can try to negate, to cancel the reactions of the karma, we will learn today. And then try it out. Take it up seriously, sincerely. Don't just take this session as a one of the, some session where you have come, spent 3 hours and gone back, that's all. Or maybe you have told, very good, nice lecture, nice prasadam, come on, we'll go back home and forget everything. No. If you really want to be benefited, then kindly take it very seriously. Think about it. Whatever is being told, try to think about this topic. Try to analyze. Try to meditate upon these things. Come out with some questions. Try, think how you can imbibe these values in your life, whether it is practical or not practical. And then if you find, yes, it is practical, it will give me happiness, it will make my life successful, it will make me happy, then please imbibe the values. Please follow it sincerely. We have taken so much pain to create these things, to come up with all this information. It's not only we, this information comes through parampara. So great acharyas have taken a lot of pain to give us this information just for our benefit. And if we really want to get out of this cycle of karma, we should sincerely try to follow what will be told today. So let's see what is instant and what is delayed karma. Yes, these are the two kinds of karmas, instant and delayed karma. And some examples I will just give you of instant and delayed karma. Say like somebody, as there is a murderer or a thief, so he steals something and he runs away. He may not be caught, but he'll be caught some other time. His karma is later. Suppose you eat something, and that kind of food what you are eating is not proper or is going to give you poisoning, food poisoning. So you have eaten, but after a few hours you will get food poisoning. So a bit delayed karma. Say AIDS, we all know it's a very dangerous disease. AIDS happened because people want to enjoy. It is a sexually transmitted disease, and in cities, big cities, I don't know about Belgaum, I have not heard till now about Belgaum whether it has prostitution or no. But in big cities it's going on a very big scale. People just go there for enjoying for some time. It's a matter of few minutes or maybe some 1 hour. And for that enjoyment they bring back diseases like AIDS, for which they have to suffer. So at that time you may not suffer, but after some time you may have to suffer. So why these karmas, the question which I started my lecture with, the question is why we don't get immediately, why there is delayed karma. There are many reasons. Now this karma we can get in our next life also, the reaction of the karma. Why next life? Let's see some examples. Some reasons. First reason is death interrupts the reaction, the facing of the reaction. What happens at the time of death? Suppose you have not faced your reactions fully and you die. So then your reactions are balanced. And those balanced reactions which are already there in your account, they will remain like that. I hope you remember when I was explaining this karma starting yesterday, I told you that this is the only thing which you carry with you. Not your money, not your bank balance, but your karma. So then, at the time of death, whatever reactions are balanced, you carry it with you in your next life. So this is one reason that why you don't get the reactions of your karma immediately. That means in the same life. Why you have to wait for another life? Another very important point that why it takes time is that each karma is like a seed that we sow. When you take a lot of seeds and you are sowing in the field, it is not that you will get all the fruits at a time. Different varieties of seeds give you different varieties of fruits. So there are many kinds of fruits. Each takes its own time. You can't expect that within 1 month all the varieties should come. Similarly, the kind of karma you perform, that kind of karma may give you reaction now or later. But whether it is now or later, you will have to face the reaction. Third reason, the situation has to be right. To face your reaction or to enjoy the fruits of your reaction, the situation has to be right. What does that mean? We'll try to understand this by this wonderful example of this person. Do you know who's this? Dhritarashtra. He was blind from his childhood, from his birth in fact. He was blind. And he had 100 sons. But what happened to the battlefield? All of them died. And his brother Pandu had only 5 sons. But they all were alive after the war. And it is also very interesting that how they got 100 sons. You want to know how Dhritarashtra had 100 sons? It is not that Gandhari was delivering every year 1 son and for next 100 years she was delivering. It's not like that. What happened was Vyasadeva, a very powerful sage who wrote Mahabharata, he was once being served by Gandhari. He came to the palace and Gandhari served him very nicely. He was very happy by the service. And he gave a benediction to Gandhari. This was the custom earlier, that whenever some sage, some saintly person, some devotee used to come to the house, people used to serve them. In fact, kings used to offer their throne, their seat, their kingdom, everything to that sage. But sages also were so nice that they never used to take all these things. It's not that if a king has offered his kingdom, the sage will say, okay, you get out of it now. They used to give it back. They used to tell, thank you very much for your donation, but I am a sage. I am a Brahmin. I am not supposed to rule. So please take it on my behalf. You rule. Then they used to say, okay, I am ruling on your behalf. So like that, when Gandhari was serving, Vyasadeva was very happy by her service. And he gave a benediction. And this is the one more quality of devotees and saintly person. If you serve them, they will give you benediction. And then Krishna is bound to fulfill that benediction. No other person can give you any benediction. But if devotees give you benediction, then Krishna will fulfill that thing. Why, you know? Even if Krishna says something, he may not fulfill. But if devotees have said, Krishna is bound to fulfill. That is the position of devotees. Krishna loves devotees. He said that if my name is spoiled, no problem, but my devotee's name should not be spoiled. In Bhagavad Gita, he explains to Arjuna that, Arjuna, if my devotee is there, he will never go down. Go and tell everyone that my devotee never perishes. So this is the position. So Vyasadeva gave a benediction that, Gandhari, I am very pleased with your service. You will have 100 sons. So Gandhari was very pleased. And then Vyasadeva left. Time passed and then Gandhari became pregnant. Meanwhile, in the jungle where Pandu was staying, you know, all of you know this story, Pandu was staying in the jungle that time. So when Pandu was staying in the jungle and Kunti also was pregnant. So there in the jungle, in the forest, Kunti was pregnant. Here Gandhari was pregnant. And then Gandhari was expecting that she will deliver the son first so that he can claim the throne. But it so happened that from the forest a news came that Kunti has delivered a baby boy, and that was Yudhishthir Maharaj. When Gandhari heard this, she was filled with jealousy. She thought, oh my God, I wanted my son to become the king. But now since Pandu's son will be elder, he will get the kingdom. So she was very angry, furious. And in that fits of anger, she hit her stomach with both of her hands. She took her hands like this and banged them, hit her stomach very. With full force. And then what happened, you know, if a pregnant girl, a pregnant woman hits her stomach, hits her womb, then it is obvious that the miscarriage will take place. So then when she delivered a bundle of flesh. There was nothing, just a piece of flesh came out of her womb. And when she saw this piece of flesh, she understood that it is due to me. I was the one who in anger killed this child. And now it is of no use. What will I do with this bundle of flesh? So she was going to throw it in the river. And when she was about to do that, Vyasadeva appeared there. And Vyasadeva said, what are you doing? She said, you gave me a benediction saying that I will have 100 sons. But your benediction is proving to be false. Because you see, what I have is just a piece of flesh. And this is due to me. This is due to my anger, due to my envy, due to my jealous nature. Then Vyasadeva said, all right, I understand. But my benediction can never be false. Whatever I say will be true. You will have 100 sons. And then he said, go and get 100 pots, mud pots. So then she brought 100 mud pots. Then those 100 mud pots were filled with ghee. And then he said, before that, continuously cold water was being put on that. And then he said, divide this piece of flesh into 100 parts and put it in each of the pot. And Gandhari did like that, and for 2 years it was kept like that, and after 2 years Duryodhan appeared from that. So you see how advanced our science was. This is test tube baby, right? Or I should say pot baby. Duryodhan was the pot tube, or pot baby you can say, mud pot baby. Now they require test tubes. We didn't have test tubes, so we had mud pots. Really, our science was so advanced. Who can think that just by dividing the part of piece of flesh, you can have children, 100 children? This was the advanced science. Now what they are trying to find, they're trying to make somehow this test tube baby, cloning, so many things. But they are not able to do it because they are not going to Vedic sciences. If they go to Vedic sciences, try to find out, they will be able to do all these things. Because Vedas have all these things. So this is how 100 sons were born. But all died. So Dhritarashtra went to Lord Krishna. And he said that you are the Supreme Lord. Everyone tells you like that. I don't believe, of course. But everyone says you are Supreme Lord. Just answer one question. I have one question. He said, yes. He said, why it happened that all my sons died and all the sons of Pandu are living, not even one of them died. What if? Why? And then Lord Krishna told him about his previous life. Lord Krishna told him, "Yo Dhritarashtra, this is due to your karma." Said, "What karma? What was that heinous act I performed because of which I have to suffer like this?" And then Lord Krishna told him that 50 lifetime back, not last life, 50 lifetime back, you were a hunter and you used to hunt in the jungle. And once while hunting, you saw that there were two birds and they had 100 children. And then you wanted all of them. So what you did, you killed all 100 sons. And seeing that, the male bird, he started crying. And he cried and he cried and he cried and cried a lot that he became blind. So now because of this act, you were to get one reaction. And what was the reaction? That your 100 sons should die and you will be blind. Dhritarashtra had one more inquiry. Dhritarashtra said, "I understand whatever you are saying, that because I killed 100 sons, my 100 sons killed. But you are telling me that I had to wait 50 lives. Why was that? Why I did not get immediately in the next life?" Then Lord Krishna explained that to get a son, you need piety. If you perform some pious activities, then only you can get a son. You can't get a son just like that. Because son means putra in Sanskrit, it's known as putra. And putra means one who delivers his ancestors from hell. So to get a son who can deliver you from the hell is very difficult. You need to perform a lot of pious activities. So, and to get 100 sons, how much you have to do it? So for last 50 lifetimes, you were performing the pious activities. And now in this lifetime, the time was right. The situation was ripe for you to get your reaction. And that is why you have got it now. So by this story, we can understand that conditions has to be right for the reactions to come. Another example we will see. We may say that, okay, we performed in the last life. I don't remember. Do you remember what you did in your last life? What were you? No one remembers. So we can put this argument, if you are a good lawyer. You can say, "I don't remember that I performed any sinful activities, then why should I suffer?" So for that, the answer is, you see this person, he has been caught because he is a murderer. He murdered somebody. But when he murdered somebody, he was wearing a red color shirt. And now when he's caught, he's wearing white color shirt. Now, can he say that I was wearing red color shirt, I don't remember that time whether I did it or no. But now I'm wearing white color, I have not done anything in white color shirt. So why should I be punished? Can he say like that? Person is saying. And I was explaining to you yesterday, Vasansi jenani yatha vihaya navani grahanati naroparani. That our bodies are like dresses, different color dresses which we wear. So earlier in our last life, we were wearing say red color dress, that means some other body. And now in this life we are wearing white color dress, some other body. How can we say that we are not going to face the reaction? Because the person is same. We are same. Only dress has changed. Vasansi jenani yatha vihaya. You remember that picture with person was being torn like a zip? Always remember that. These pictures are very powerful. If you see, you can remember the theory, you can remember the Siddhanta. And how, I'll tell you a recent example. I was giving a course like this in hospital. There were many people coming. And we were doing the same session also once on karma. And in karma later, we will have a picture I will show you. I'll not tell you now, otherwise you will get the idea. So there's a picture. And on that, based on that picture, we explain certain principle. And after some time, after 2 or 3 months, I was sitting with someone in somebody's house in hospital, and then somebody introduced me to one lady, saying that she attended your course. So I just told her Hare Krishna, and I was just talking. She asked me one question, and I was telling it is as per the karma. And then I was trying to explain her the principle. She immediately said, yes, I remember that picture, and I remember the principle. You said like this. I said, yes, very good. So just by remembering the picture, like just by remembering Dhritarashtra's picture, you can remember the whole thing. That why you can get sentence or punishment after many lifetimes. So here, this person is being caught in white shirt. So we, maybe in our earlier life, we may have different body or different dress, but now since we are, the person is same and we are carrying our karma, so then we have to face the reactions of previous life. So every action must bring its reaction sooner or later. This is a must. We will get, we will have to face the reaction. Nobody can escape from this reaction. Now there is very interesting point. Okay, we have to face the reaction. So suppose we have performed some sinful reaction. What we will do is, we will perform some good action also. Sinful activities we have done, now we will do some pious activities. So whatever is there, it will become zero. Like in mathematics, if you have done some negative activities and some positive activities, so 2 minus 2 is 0, nil. So is it possible? No. The law says that good karma and bad karma do not cancel each other. You have to face the reaction of sinful activities as, and also you have to enjoy the reaction or the benediction what you get, or the results of your pious activity also. Let's try to understand this by a very good example. Here what you are seeing is a king standing here. His name is King Nriga, and 2 brahmanas. I will tell you this story. It is a very interesting story. I'll have to go fast. All of you have the questions also? You want to have the question answer session? How many of you, I mean I can't see, but you can say yes. How many of you have questions, or you have written any questions, or you would like to ask questions? How many of you can raise your hand, please? 1, 2. How many are there, anyone? I can't see any hands raised there. So we will have a short question answer session only, maybe. Only if you want to ask question. Because this is important to understand. Now this King Nriga, he was a very generous king, and he was donating cows at one time. So he gave a lot of cows to one brahmana, this elderly brahmana with the beard. And then this brahmana was taking all the cows, and it so happened that one of the cows from that group came back and joined the other cows. King was not aware about this, and what king did was, another brahmana came, a young brahmana, you can see there, that boy, and he gave many cows to him also. And by mistake, this cow which was earlier given to this Brahmana also went in that group. So when this elderly Brahmana realized that king gave me 100 cows, but there are only 99 and one has gone back, so he came back to the king. He's saying, "Oh king, I had taken 100 cows, you gave me, donated me, but there are only 99. One has come back to you, kindly give me back." King said, "Okay, no problem, you can take your cow." And then king went and saw, but that cow was already given to another person. So king told this Brahmana, "Oh my dear Brahmana, I was not aware that this cow has come back. So I have already given this cow to someone else. So now kindly take some other cow." But this Brahman was very angry. He said, "No, how can you donate something which is not yours? You have already given that cow to me, then how was it possible for you to donate it to someone else?" But king said, "I was not aware." He said, "That doesn't matter. That cow belonged to me. Why did you give it to him? I want my cow." King started pleading, "You take 10 cows, you take 100 cows, you take 1,000 cows more." Brahmana said, "No, I am a Brahmana. I'll take only that cow." So then king went to the other person and he explained to him, "I'm sorry, I gave you 100 cows, but out of that, one cow belongs to some other Brahmana, so kindly give it to me." So the young Brahmana said, "Oh king, how can you say these words? Once you give donation to someone, you're not supposed to ask it back. I will not give you. This is my property now." King said, "Yes, I understand it is your property, but I'm just asking you because I'm in trouble." He said, "No, I will not give you." So now king was in trouble. What to do? This Brahmana is not ready to take any other cow. The other Brahmana is not ready to give that cow. Although king offered him also, "You take 100 cow, 1,000 cow, I will give you." Said, "No, I'll not give this cow." So then what happened? This Brahmana cursed the king that you will become a lizard. So this king had to become a lizard, but what pious activities he performed after becoming lizard, he went to heaven and enjoyed. But his karmas were not cancelled. Not that he was giving so many cows in donation and he was performing pious activities. So what mistake he did, he should not get suffering for that. He got it. Similarly, even unknowingly, if we break the laws, we will have to suffer. We can't say, "I was not aware." Ignorance is not an excuse. If you are ignorant, that is your mistake. You will have to suffer. So that is why we should be very careful what to do, what not to do, understand it, see it through the eyes of the scriptures and lead your life in a very peaceful and happy way. This is what the scriptures want and this is what we want from your side, that you follow certain rules and regulations. So here we see by this act that you cannot nullify your actions. Of course, there are certain procedures mentioned in the scriptures, karma khanda, that if you perform some yajna, like prayaschita homa, then maybe you are able to nullify the reactions of your karma. But these kind of activities help us to a certain extent. They may be able to nullify the reactions, but they don't remove the desire to perform that activity again and again. It is only by devotional service that the act, the desire to perform sinful activity also goes away. In Bhagavatam, it is said, "Kechit kevalaya bhaktya vasudeva parayanaha." If you perform devotional service to the lotus feet of the Lord, and only kechit kevalaya bhaktya, only devotion service, vasudeva parayanaha, then what happens is agam dhanvanti kastena niharam iva bhaskaraha, then all your sinful reactions will go away and not only sinful reactions, the desire to perform these reactions will also go away. So that is important, because if desire is there, we will again perform. Like suppose somebody is visiting the prostitute for enjoyment, and he knows that there will be diseases, and he starts suffering from a disease, sexually transmitted disease. So till he is all right, he will not go. But the desire will always be there, and as soon as he finds a chance, again he will go. So then that is not a proper thing. So performing this yajna is not a proper thing, because it does not help us. So what we should do? Kechit kevalaya bhaktya vasudeva parayana. It is told that if you perform devotional service, all your sinful reactions will be destroyed, and not only that, the desire to perform sinful activities will also go away. Then there are, in karma theory, very important term known as individual and collective karma. What is individual karma? That we have heard in this session, that whatever activities we perform. But what is collective karma? Collective karma means karma of many people of similar kind, common kind of suffering which one has to get. Say suppose one person has performed certain kind of activity and he is supposed to get a reaction. There are 1,000 more who are going to get the same kind of reaction. So they come together and they suffer together. For example, air crash. We see when the plane crashes, all 300 passengers, 400 passengers, 200 passengers, they die. And in a similar way. So they get reaction all in a similar fashion. Or let's see, battlefield. This is Kurukshetra. So in battlefield also, all these, again you can see the armies nicely arranged. So all they were, all those who were fighting, they died on the battlefield. Because they had common karma. Actually, Lord Krishna brought all of them together. All of them having collective karma, common karma, they came together and then they all died in the same fashion. So that is why individual and collective karma is important. Also important for us is to understand what is prarabdha and what is sanchit karma. These two words are very important. Prarabdha karma means karma fructifying in this life, and sanchit karma means sum total of all karma. For example, you have a bank balance. And in your bank balance, there is 20 lakh rupees. So this 20 lakh rupees is your sanchit karma. And from that 20 lakh rupees, for this month, you will take out, say, 5,000 rupees. So this 5,000 rupees is your prarabdha karma, which you have taken for today or for this month. Similarly, we have a very, very big bank balance of sanchit karma, of our reactions. And out of which, for this lifetime, we take out something. And that is prarabdha. Now, there is one very important question. That if we say that everything happens as per karma, and many times we have heard this word, destiny or fate. Now we have been hearing about karma. Everything is happening as per our karma. We carry previous life's karma. So what is destiny and what is fate? Destiny or fate, almost same. So let's try to understand this very important word. What is destiny? Destiny is nothing. Just the reaction of my karma, as I was saying, prarabdha. Prarabdha means you have taken out from your sum total sanchit karma. But destiny means all, whatever you are going to get, you are destined to get these things. That is our destiny. So then, do we have any free will?
very nice question can come up, that if everything is destined, everything you say it as for the destiny, do we have free will? And if we don't have free will, then why should we listen all these things? Whatever is going to happen will happen. What is the use of understanding who am I, understanding self-realization, understanding God? I don't need all these things. Because whatever is there in my destiny, it will come to me. Yes, in one sense, it is true. I will tell you a small story of two friends. These two friends were very close friends. Wherever they were, they used to go together. And once it so, one friend was always depending on God. He used to say that whatever happens, happens for the good. And I am always dependent on God. I know if God wants, things will happen. The other person was saying, no, you have to work. You just can't depend like this. But still they were good friends. So once it so happened that
spoil my day. Let me go and finish my japa. Let me go and finish my puja. And after
So it was very cool. In another situation, suppose a person who is very much attached, what will he do? Start running here and there, bring this, cry, shout, oh, what has happened? I've lost everything, too close, this and that. So where is the free will is? Both are facing the same reaction, same situation, but how they react is important. So that is why we should try to react before, or we should try to think before we jump. There is a saying like that, that you should think before you jump. Once you jump, what is the use of thinking? Like an arrow. So this person is shooting an arrow. Now before shooting an arrow, he has a free will. Where to shoot, how to shoot, how much power to use, he has this free will. But once he has released the arrow, there is no free will. He cannot run after the arrow and say, oh, oh no, you go in right direction, you go in left direction, nothing can be done. Let's try to understand this by very wonderful example. Here is a person, his name is Pehalwan Singh. You can see his moustache very nicely. So he is this, our Pehalwan Singh, who was a very nice person. So one day, he was frustrated with the life. And he said, I want to end my life. I am so powerful, I have so much strength, but I am not happy with the life. So I want to end my life. So this Pehalwan Singh went up to the building, very tall building, went to the terrace, and then he jumped from there, saying that I will end my life. But as soon as he jumped, he realized he is going to die. So then he was afraid, and then he started shouting, no, 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 I don't want to die, I don't want to die. But by that time, he had already made the decision. So his destiny was fixed. He will die. So he had a choice. When was the choice available to him? Before jumping. After jumping, there is no choice. Similarly, we have a choice before performing an action. But after we have performed an action, there is no choice. Result is fixed. So in our lives, we should be very careful that what kind of karma we should perform and what kind of activity or reaction activity we should do, so that the reaction is not binding us in this world. So this is our destiny. So what is the definition of destiny? Destiny is the aggregate of karmic reactions that have not yet borne fruit. Because those reactions which have borne fruit, they are finished. But there are reactions which are yet to give you fruits. So all that aggregate of that, total of that is your destiny. Is written. This will happen. So that will be there. That is the destiny. Now once we know this, of course, destiny means there are, it's not that we don't work. As I said, we have a choice. Suppose a student, in his destiny it is written that he will get 80% marks. So he thinks that my destiny says I'll get 80% marks, I will not write the exam, I will not study. Will you get 80% exam marks if you don't study at all, or if you don't write exam? You will not get. What does that mean? You are entitled for 80% mark as per your destiny if you study. If you don't study, you will not get. But even if you study hard, if your destiny has 80%, you will not get 81%. Try to understand this again. If in your destiny it is written that you will get 80% marks, you may get 80%. You may get up to 80% depending on your studies. But you will not get beyond that. That is destiny. That is fixed. But that does not mean we sit down. Then anyway, I am going to get 80%. You will not get it. So this is entitlement. You are entitled for that. Now after giving or after understanding all this destiny, what is karma, instant and delay. Now we can answer the most important question in our life. Why do good things happen to bad people and bad things happen to good people? Very important question for us. We have seen in our lives.
Similarly, when we perform some bad karma, bad activity,
performing good activities, although we are putting a nice crop, still that bad crop, the reaction of bad activities is remaining, and then we have to face them. And if you do something good, you have a good karma will also come. But by that time, suppose this person, by the time he starts taking out good crop, another year has come. And another year crop is bad. He is putting bad grains, but still he is getting good grains in the silo. Try to understand this, that, okay, we will explain you after one more example. These are the two friends. They wanted to do something in the life. One of them went to a saint, saintly person, where he started reading Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam, and other scriptures. Whereas the other person, he started doing all sorts of bad activities. He started going to bar, started drinking, all kinds of sinful activities he was performing. So they met after many years. And one person was very happy. Can you tell me who was happy? Huh? Say it loudly. I can't hear. The one who went to sage, or he was reading Bhagavad Gita. No, he was not happy. Actually, the person who went to the bar that day, actually they went on one day, and then there was this road going to bar and this road going to the sage. So one went to the sage, one went to the bar. So the one who went to the bar, he was very happy. He had everything in his life. He had money. He had fame, he had bungalow, he had beautiful wife, he had children, everything. Whereas the other person who went to the sage, reading Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam, he had nothing. He was living in poverty and, you know, hardly he had any money to eat. Wife was also crumbling all the time. You know, this is the problem. If you have a wife, she will always keep grumbling, I don't have this, I don't have that, and then you have to bring everything for her. In that only your life will go. I remember an incident where this happens, that you know, a person who does not want for himself, but especially because wife is grumbling, he has to get it. Anyway, that's material life. I'm sure all of you are going to face after some time. I pray to Lord Krishna to give you strength so you can face all these things in life. So anyway, now this person was, you know, always in trouble. So the one who had got everything, he told this person, what is the use? You are reading Bhagavad Gita, you are going to the sage, sadhu in the temple. What do you get? See me, look at me. I have everything in life. I have the best car, I have the bungalow, I have a beautiful wife, I have money, I have fame. What do you have? Nothing. So still there is time. Come with me. I'll make you a king. I'll change your life. See, this is what happens by association. If you associate with the person who's going in the right track, you'll always be in the right track. You'll never be disturbed. But if you associate with the people who are not in the right track, you'll always be disturbed. So this person was saying, come, I have everything. And generally we get attracted. Arewa, he is having money, he is having fame, he is having bungalow, car, everything. Why not to go with him? He is successful. No, this is not success. So then he went to his guru. This is a very important step. If you are confused, if you don't know what to do, you should go to the higher authority and question, this is my position, what should I do? He went to his guru and he asked him, you see, I came to you, at that time we both were in the same position. I came to you, he went to the bar. Now look at him, where is he? And look at me, where am I? So why? Why is this happening? So then guru explained to him that person is enjoying the reaction of his previous activities. But the activities which he is performing now, he will have to face the reaction. So there is misery in in store for him. He is going to face it. But for you, what you are facing now is the reaction of your previous life. But then there is happiness awaiting you for the activities which you have performed. You will definitely get benefit. So this we have to understand, that even if a person, he is very good in his life, but he is being troubled by people, he is having misery, good things are not happening with him, it is because of his previous karma. So always remember this example and the example of silo, that whatever you are putting and you are taking out from down, similarly every year you go on putting, maybe the bad crop is not over, that is why good crop cannot come. Similarly, the reactions of our bad karma are still not over, that is why we are still facing misery. But don't worry, we can come over all these things just by performing devotional service. But unless we perform devotional service, unless we come near the God, we will not understand this. Bible says very nice things. Bible says that mills of God grind slow but fine. Means you understand? A chakki. So when it does the grinding, it is slow but it is very fine. That means you will get the reaction, you will get the fruits of your labor, and when you will get, it will be very tasty. But if you don't understand this karma, vikarma and akarma, you will always be in the cycle of samsara. You remember this picture we showed you yesterday also, wheel of samsara. And Shankaracharya says, punarapi jananam punarapi maranam punarapi janani jathare shayanam iha samsare bahudastare kripaya pahare pahe murare. He's praying to Murari, to Lord Krishna. He said, oh my Lord, this material world is very difficult to stay in. I am repeatedly tossed in the waves of birth and death. I am made to be born again and again and made to die again and again. In this way I have been occupying the wombs of millions of mothers. Please kindly shower your merciful glance upon me and deliver me from this ocean of nations. This is what is the prayer. So how we can do it? Let's see practically how we should do it. In human form of life, we have developed intelligence. So what we should do? We should try to inquire, try to lead a responsible life. Don't become animals. Don't live an animalistic life. Become a responsible human being. If you are not a responsible human being, you will have to suffer the karmic reaction. I explained these things yesterday also, that if you drink, you can see on your left hand side, top corner, you will be forced to drink molten metal. If you are going for illicit sexual relationship, you will be forced to embrace a hot metal form of a woman which will be giving you a lot of trouble, but you will not die. All these reactions what you are seeing, you will not die, but you will only suffer. This is hell. Always remember this picture and can just try to imagine somebody is pulling out the organs of your body, but you are not dying. How much pain you will have to face, and this is what will happen in hell. And also you will go down to the lower forms of life. This also we explained yesterday, that if you indulge too much in eating, you will become a pig. If you indulge too much in illicit sex, then also you will go down to animal life. But if you want to elevate yourself to spiritual world from where all of us have come, then you have to perform certain activities. And what are those activities which we have to perform? The very first activity which you have to perform is austerity. Now, if you talk in terms of practical things now, how can we perform austerity? Do we expect us all of us to go to jungle, sit down, become Babaji, have big, big hairs, matted hair, wear some cloth or don't wear any cloth. You see, if you go to Kumbh Mela in Allahabad, you will see many people like this. Some will come with clothes, some will come without clothes. They are all Babaji's, big, big sannyasis or big, big, you know, yogis. So what do we expect? What does austerity mean? Austerity practically means is, there are, if you read Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna gives different kinds of austerity. For example, austerity of speech is to speak truth. It is very difficult to speak truth all the time. We start lying. Because truth is not always palatable, not always good. It's not tasty, so we can't digest. So that is why we don't speak truth. So austerity means that austerity of body, austerity of speech, austerity of actions to lead a pure life. Like in our temple, generally we get up every day at 3:30 in the morning. Now if I'll tell some of you, you will be shocked. 3:30 is the time we go to sleep actually, right? Once I was with the boys and I just casually asked them, what time you get up? What time is your college? He said, 8 o'clock, I have to reach college. Oh, I said, what time you get up? He said, 7:45. I don't know how many of you do that. But this is also an austerity of the body. Every day you're getting up. But main austerity is to keep us away from desires which are going to bind us, like I explained to you just 2 slides back, the different kinds of desire. This is going to bind us. So have a regulated life. This is austerity. We want to drink, but we force ourselves, no, it is not good for us. We want to smoke, we force ourselves, no, this is austerity. Live a pure life in this world of Kali Yuga, it's an austerity. Just to live a pure, earlier it was not. But at this stage, it is very much. I'll give you an example. It happened in America. There was a case going on. There was a person who was a gangster. And once he was running from, police was behind him and he was running away. And by running, just somehow he came to his god temple. And he saw devotees there. He mixed with the devotees to save himself. And then along with them, he came to the temple and started staying there just to save himself. But then if you're staying in the temple, you have to follow the rules. So then he was getting up early and then he was doing all the sevas in the temple. But he was staying in the temple, he was not going out. So after 1 year, when he stayed in the temple, his heart was purified. And then he realized that I should not lie to my friends, to the devotees. So he went to the in charge of the temple and he told him that, my dear Prabhu, actually I want to tell you something, I am a criminal and I did this act and just to save myself I came to the temple. Now tell me, what should I do? So this person said, see, you should go to the police and tell everything, whatever you have done, and then face the reaction, no problem, and after that you come back. So he went to the police, he surrendered. Then police was surprised because he was a very famous criminal. People were looking for him. Police was looking for him. And he himself came and surrendered. So they were surprised. Then there was a case because he had committed a lot of sinful activities, a lot of crimes. So the case started. And judge asked him, where are you staying now? Where were you for last 1 year? So then he told him, I'm staying in an ISKCON temple. Oh, you're staying in a temple? Yes, I'm staying in a temple. What do you do there? So he told his activity, I get up at 3:30 in the morning, I have to sleep on the floor, I do this activity, I do that, and all. So when judge heard, I don't eat non-veg, I don't eat onion, garlic, I follow rules and regulations, I don't drink, I don't eat non-veg, and I don't have any illicit relationship, I don't gamble, so many things. So when judge heard all these things, he said, case is dismissed. So everyone was surprised. The lawyers and all were pleading, oh, my lord, why case is dismissed? he said this person is already suffering. He is already going through a punishment. Getting up at 3:30 in the morning, no drinking, no liquor, no meat, and no gambling, no sex. He is already in jail. Then why to put him in jail? Our jail is much better than that. So let him suffer there only. That is his punishment. So then he came back to his contempt. So for others, this is a punishment. This is austerity. So we have to perform certain austerity in the sense there are four regulations, rules, which we must follow to become humans. When we say these four rules, people think, oh, it's big thing. No, it's not big thing. It's just to bring you to a human platform. Four simple rules are there. You should not drink. You should not eat non-vegetarian food. And you should not gamble. And you should not have illicit sexual relationship. Four simple things. What happens if you follow all this? This is an austerity. But if you follow, you will lead a pure life. Second, you should associate with saintly persons. This is very important. The kind of company one keeps, he is known by the company. As we know in English, man is known by the company he keeps. If you associate with the people who are not good, who don't have a good name, you will also spoil your name. Say tomorrow you start roaming with people who are smugglers. You just like, okay, I know he is a smuggler, but it's okay, he is very nice to me. He is not doing anything to me, so let me go with him. What will people say? He is also become, say, he is roaming with him. Although you may not do anything, but you will be branded as smuggler. Or you will spoil your name just because of bad association. Just because of bad association, we spoil our name, we lose our happiness, everything. Because we get carried away. We don't know what this is saying. We feel this person is our friend. He is taking us everywhere. He is the one who will give me everything. And then this person, because of his nature, say he is a smuggler, he is a thief, he is a culprit, he is an offender. And he will tell you the same things what he has. And then we feel, yes, he is my friend. He is my real friend. But later we realize that actually he is not our friend. A friend is a one who may not be all the time very goody-goody to you. He is not a friend who is telling, yes, whatever you say, yes, whatever you say, yes. He is not a friend. A friend means he should be able to correct you when you are wrong. He should be able to guide you when you are going on a wrong path. He should be able to stop you by any means. He is a real friend. But a friend who is taking you on a wrong path, he is not a real friend. So association with saintly person is very important. This will take us to the real destination. Our real destination is not this material world. Our real destination is not just to get some good job. Of course, that is required for our maintenance. But in our heart, we should try to cultivate these qualities. So always associate with saintly person, with devotees, with persons who will take you where you should be. Third point, sacrifice. You should perform some sacrifice, some yajna, which is important. Now you will say, see, I'm studying in engineering college. What do you expect in my hostel room? I should sit and say, swaha, swaha. My warden will come and he will throw me out and say, swaha. So, what do you think? What kind of sacrifice I should perform? See, for this Kali Yuga, sacrifice is not recommended. Krite yadhyayato Vishnu Tretayam yajato makhe. It was in the Treta Yuga that this sacrifice was recommended, not in this Kali Yuga. Kali Yuga, there is only one thing. Hare Ranam eva kevalam kalau vanaste 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 gatiranyatha. In this age of Kali Yuga, there is only one sacrifice. You don't have to sit in your hostel room and have a fire, have a sacrificial arena, some brahmanas bring ghee and bring so many things and start saying swaha, and because of the smoke, all of this will come to your room and throw you out, and they will say nicely, swaha. No, we don't have to perform such sacrifice. The only sacrifice in this age which can be performed is the Harinam Sankirtan. You can see how these devotees on the streets, they are performing this Harinam Sankirtan. If you can't go on the street, if you can't chant anywhere else, at least sit in the room, chant the holy name. It is said in the scriptures, this is the only way. Hare Ranam, Hare Ranam, Hare Ranam. The name of God, name of God, name of God is the only way. Kalo Nastev, Nastev, Nastev. Three times it is said. And when in the scriptures something is said two times or three times, it becomes very important. And three times they say, there is no other way, there is no other way, there is no other way, only chanting of the holy name. There is an Upanishad called Kali Santanar Upanishad, where Brahma gives knowledge to Narad Muni and says that in this Kali Yuga, there is only one mantra. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. This is the only mantra which can deliver everyone. So this is the actual sacrifice. Harinam Sankirtan. This is the only yajna which we have to perform in this Kali Yuga. And then, of course, cultivation of knowledge. Cultivate knowledge. Try to read scriptures like Bhagavad Gita, which gives us knowledge. What is the knowledge? Knowledge about this material world is given in Bhagavad Gita. Indriyardheshu vairagya manahankara evcha janma mrityu chara vyadhi dukkha dushanu darshanam. What is the biggest misery? Dukkha. Janma mrityu chara vyadhi. Janma means birth, death, old age and disease. These are the real difficulties. These are the real troubles. These are the real miseries of our life. We have to find a solution to these things. Krishna says, this is knowledge. So we have to get real knowledge, cultivate real knowledge by reading books like Bhagavad Gita. And then, if you do this, you can go back home, back to Godhead, live eternally, blissfully in this spiritual world. Krishna says that one who does this does not go down to the hellish life, but attains my eternal abode, O Arjuna. And what is his eternal abode? Which is eternal, full of knowledge and completely blissful. Satchit Ananda. That is his eternal abode where we all should aspire to go, and that can be done by chanting this mantra. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So to summarize this session, all of us should be aware that what kind of karmas we have to perform. And there are three kinds of karmas: karma, vikarma and akarma. Karma and vikarma will bind you in this material world, but akarma will free you, liberate you from the bondage of this material world. And what is akarma? The activities which are performed for the pleasure of the Supreme Lord is akarma. And in the end, we have shown you that how you can perform akarma by performing some austerity of the body, by associating with saintly people, by cultivation of knowledge, you can perform akarma. And the biggest thing which you can do is perform the sacrifice of chanting this holy name. Let's chant together this mantra. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much for attending these 3 days. Can somebody on the lights please, behind? Very much. I'm very happy to see so many boys coming for these 3 days session. Attend. attending this day, 3 days, I'm sure you must have gained something at least. But I'll be very happy if you follow certain things. Otherwise, what happens is it enters from this ear, and here also we have a hole. So it should not be a straight line going from here and coming out of here. It should, you can hold it inside. Try to follow. We will never be in misery. Always ask this question, why should I suffer? I don't want to suffer. I want to be happy. And you'll always be happy. So now if you have any questions, you may ask. There is a mic if you want. You can use the mic or you can write down in the slips and give it to me and distribute the slips, please. Whoever wants can take the slip, or you can ask the question like that also. Behind there is a person, you can give the mic to him. Take the mic, it is here.
Mind, intelligence and ego.
So then we have to remove the subtle body, and then we will be able to see the form of the soul, right? Simple. But how will you do that? If you remove your gross body, how will you see it? You see through your eyes. You won't have eyes to see. If you remove your subtle body, you won't have your intelligence to understand. What is the form? No, these are all material things. Form of the soul is spiritual, and you have to understand through spiritual eyes. Right now the eyes, the senses which we have are material, can see only material form. And that is the reason Lord appears in the form of a deity. People say, why should you worship a stone? Patthar ka murti kyun poojte hain? There is a very famous person who says, Pathar puje hari mile to main pooju pahad. If just by worshipping a stone you can get Lord, I will go and worship a mountain. Why should I worship a stone here, small stone? So this is the reason why he appears in such form, because our eyes are used to see material things. We are not used to see spiritual things, we cannot see. So he is so merciful, he appears in a material form. Okay, at least have my darshan, understand who I am. So similarly, the soul has form, but we are not able to see because these coverings are there. And Bhagavatam explains that by performing devotional service, not only gross body, one can melt down this subtle body also. So once there is no gross body, there is no subtle body, then you can see the soul. And how will you see? Through your spiritual eyes. Don't think that you won't have eyes, and how will you see? Next question is, you said that the lower species like animals have no karma, and only the man has the law of karma. How did you explain this? How can we know about this? When a tiger eats non-vegetarian food, he does not get any karma, because that is meant for him. Jivo jivasya jivanam. Shastras explain this. It means small fish is a food for bigger fish.